This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we'll be concluding our four-part series on the USEF FEI medication rules with Dr. Kent Allen, and we'll also be hearing about this year's annual convention from Kathy Robertson. But we begin with a reminder that September 30th is the end of the competition year and the deadline for schools to be earned for the 2015 Adequan USDF year-end awards and for online applications to be submitted for the USDF Rider Awards. In order for a rider award to be recognized in the competition year, the online application must be submitted to the USDF by September 30th. And the online application is located on the USDF website under Awards, Forms and Documents. Late applications may be accepted until October 15th, with payment of the applicable late fee. And also, September 30th is the deadline to submit your date of birth for the Vintage Cup, Adult Amateur and Junior Young Rider Awards, and declare your eligibility for the Vintage Cup. This deadline pertains to adult amateurs verifying their status to ensure eligibility for the Adult Amateur Awards. In addition, those wishing to be eligible for the 2015 Adequan USDF Breeder of the Year Awards must join the USDF with a 2015 participating or business membership. And now the USDF Education Department Manager Kathryn Robertson is here to tell us about this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention.
It is December 2nd through the 5th, and we are headed to Las Vegas this year. We are fortunate in that the American Association of Equine Practitioners is also going to be in Las Vegas at the same time. So our educational lineup is going to be, we're going to have some of the world's top vets speaking to our membership this year. So we're very excited about that.
Yes, because the education sessions are a very important and popular part of the convention, aren't they?
They are. We do a lot of governance during our convention, but we do have a core group of members that come for the education, and this year we're able to provide quite a lot of education throughout the week, more than we probably have been able to provide in the past few years. So we're very excited about that.
So talk us through the schedule then for that week, Kathryn.
Well, like I said, the convention starts on the 2nd. That is a Wednesday. And we will have some of our closed business meetings will take place on Wednesday. But we'll also start with an education session on Wednesday evening that will focus on rider fitness. And that will be the lead-in to our morning exercise classes that will start bright and early at 6 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. On Thursday, we will start the day with our regional meetings, and then we will have our open committee meetings. We also have scheduled some time for a USEF rule change forum. That is our members' opportunity to talk about the rule changes that are being presented by the USEF, and we would love to have people come, provide their input and their thoughts on the rules so we can then provide some input into the rules that are affecting our sport. On Thursday afternoon, we will have some education, and we will also have our welcome party. We'll be at the hotel. This year, we are at the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino. On Friday, we again start the day with our regional meetings. We'll have some open forums and some roundtable discussions that are geared towards our competitors and also our group members. In the afternoon, we'll have the first session of our Board of Governors meeting, and we'll wrap up the day with some education sessions. On Saturday, we start the day with the second session of our Board of Governors. And then we have education scheduled from about 10 o'clock in the morning straight through till 5 in the afternoon. We're very excited about the lineup that we have on Saturday. On Saturday, we also have our sessions that are focused on our youth. They will start the day with a breakfast and then having roundtable discussions and finish with some education that is geared specifically for them. On Saturday evening, of course, is our salute gala and our banquet, where we will recognize our year-end award winners, our bronze, silver, and gold medalists, our volunteers, and our Hall of Fame inductees and lifetime achievement recipients. So we have a pretty full, packed week of stuff going on. As I had mentioned, we are at the Hotel Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We have some pretty great discounted rates, but those rates have to be taken advantage of by November 7th. And our registration is open until November 28th. Right up until the end, you can take advantage of the discounted rates. And then after the 28th, you can register on site at an increased price.
And talk us through that process, Catherine. What do members need to do to register?
Well, to register and to get the hotel information, they can go to our website at www.usdf.org, and it should tell them everything they need to know. It will also have our education lineup and talk about who's going to be joining us and what the topics are going to be throughout the week.
Okay. And in terms of other activities as well, around Las Vegas, it's always a very popular venue, isn't it, for people that are visiting the town?
There is a lot of things going on around Las Vegas. The biggest thing that's going on will be the National Rodeo Finals will be going on in Las Vegas as well. So there's just a lot of opportunity to do a lot of different things, lots of shopping opportunities within Las Vegas, and just a variety of things to do.
And more information, as you say, can be found on the website, on the convention link at usdf.org. Is there anything else that you'd like to, members to know, Kathy, before they start to make their plans for this year's convention?
I think the thing is to be aware of the deadlines, again, to get the discounted rates at the hotel. That has to be done by the 7th of November. That date will be here before you know it. That is the big thing.
Absolutely. All right. Well, lots to look forward to, as always. And let's not forget the sponsors who make this possible.
Yep. Adequin is our title sponsor for the event. They've been with us for many years, and we do appreciate their support, not only of the convention, but of many other of our activities as well.
Terrific. All right. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program again, Kathy, and telling us about this convention. That's at the Rio All Suites Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. So make your plans by going to the website and not to miss that registration and, of course, the discounts that are on offer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now we conclude our series of excerpts from the Riding with the Vet DVDs, which are available on the USDF online store, as Dr. Kent Allen explains the USEF FEI medication rules.
So the question is, if you're tested to show, how soon do you know before it's a positive? Dr. Schumacher.
If you haven't heard anything in 90 days, then it's been negative. And I can tell you, yeah, 90 days, 3 months, usually we're running much quicker than that. So if you don't hear anything, really 8 to 9 weeks, but it's 90 days is the number.
The other point I would make here is if it is a forbidden drug and you have filled out the medication form appropriately, you will never hear it. There is a positive generated out of the laboratory, goes to the USEF Drug and Medication Office, is married up with the medication form, and you'll never hear about that. That won't be a problem because you have complied. You have done your paperwork correctly. That paperwork explains that positive of a forbidden substance. That positive is nicely filed and goes away. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. And if you do the forms correctly, it works great. And the vast majority of the time, it does work great. The ones I hate to see are people who are getting $750,000 fine for giving an antihistamine to a horse that then they never filled the form out. They just kept giving the drug to the horse. They get a positive, and now they're getting a $1,000 fine for something if they'd have just filed the paperwork, they'd have been great. So it is important to pay attention to what's going on rule-wise here. So real quickly, forbidden drugs, there are a couple that are seen, and there are more than this, but these are the two graphic examples that we continue to see at a much lower amount than we had seen previously, and that is reserpine and flufenazine, and these are what's called psychotropic drugs. They calm the horse, okay, but they do it very centrally through the brain action. While the only legitimate therapeutic use for these drugs in horses would be layup, okay, a quietening during a rehabilitation period. Other than that, there is no rationale for having these in a performance horse. If you're telling me, gosh, I used it so I could go aqua tread my horse last week, I'm going to say you're full of it, okay? Because there's a million drugs that work better. These drugs you give them, they don't even work for a day or two. So don't tell me you're using it to calm your horse down and then put it in a pair of whirly boots. It doesn't work that way. You can use detomidine, you can use xylazine, you can use a variety of different drugs that will work for that. But that won't work for this. And so there are very few legitimate recognized uses for these drugs. The primary use for them is to cheat. Okay? And the hearing committee tends to throw the book at these people. And typically they get between $3,000 and $5,000 fines and 3 to 5 months suspensions. Okay, so you do, however, as a positive side effect, get your name in Equestrian magazine. Okay, now perhaps not in the column that you were hoping to be, but nevertheless, you know, there is no, what did they say? There is no bad publicity. I'm not sure about that, but one of the other things I would point out, particularly in flufenazine, is this is a dangerous, unpredictable drug in the horse. Because this is not an uncommon scenario. Horse was treated with the drug 30 days previously, no problem that time. Horse is treated again with the drug, becomes violent in the stall, tries to walk up the side of the stall, does not know the wall is there, is abrading itself, is a really dangerous to the handler, even with heavy sedation, is very, very dangerous and difficult to handle. Some of these horses are treated and successfully recover. Others don't recover. So this is not a drug to mess around with, okay? And there were a lot of people playing with this drug a couple of years ago, and a bunch of them got caught. And so just for the uneducated about this drug, be aware of it, and this is not one that I would use. And this drug can be seen on a drug screen 60 to 90 days out. Okay, and the scary part is it can have an effect upon the horse almost that long. And we want to talk about the medicine box. Okay, the intent, and this came about after the positives of Athens in 2004, and there were a number of, we wanted to find a group of first treatment drugs, okay, what we call the medicine box. Drugs that you take and you look at a variety of ailments that the horse will face, and you say, what's the first drug I'd reach for? And then you say, well, let's actually not get some pharmacokinetic data that was done in Canada back in 1987 on two horses. Okay, to me, that's not very useful information. Let's get modern, up-to-date, with modern, up-to-date laboratories, 6 or 8 horses at least, so we have some numbers, and let's get real data so that we can show the performance horse veterinarians and they can appropriately advise you all. And that has been done. And it's been a long time in the coming, but it has certainly been worth the wait. And so this is how we did this. There was hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on this by a variety of federations and organizations. But a drug in the medicine box, and again, we've switched on to FEI now, a drug in the medicine box is still a forbidden substance, okay? And when it's detected, the penalties will be imposed. The difference in the medicine box is we have much better detection time data, and the four FEI reference labs around the world are harmonized on this particular drug. So if you take your dressage horse and you show it at Lexington, Kentucky, it will be tested to the same level on these drugs that it is in Chantilly, France, or Aachen. Okay? It will be no difference. And that has been years in the making, and a lot of effort by a lot of people and a lot of federations and a lot of committees. But we have done that. Now, the caveats, yeah, there's somewhat different techniques, but they're all at an agreed-upon level of detection, which is the big deal. And then we can't get rid of the variations among horses. And that's why we talk about a detection time, and that is a laboratory detection time. That is not the same as the withdrawal time for your horse. Okay? Let's say I see your horse, and I say, well, geez, I've seen this horse now multiple times at multiple competitions. He doesn't drink very well, does he? No, we've had to run fluids to him a couple times, yeah. Well, you know what? I know, because I know the pharmacology of these drugs, that oftentimes you want to give a little bit extra time for this drug to clear out because the horse is dehydrated, and that will change its excretion. So I want to tack on a safety factor onto that detection time and not just use the detection time. And that is a withdrawal time, okay? And that your veterinarian should be advising you on. But again, there are non-steroidals in the medicine box. There are now some corticosteroids just being added. Local anesthetics, 48 hours. Detomidine, 48 hours. Dipyrone, we don't use in this country. Scopolamine, which is buscopan, is 48 hours. So some pretty good data on a variety of these drugs. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can access this. You can go to horsesport.org, and you can go to drug and medication and select horse, not human, athlete. And then it will take you to another series of topics on the webpage. And right in the middle is detection time. So it's a really useful thing. You need to look at it. You need to then look at it with your veterinarian. And if he or she is not used to looking at this list, they need to start looking at it, because it's very good information and it's very appropriate for the performance horse.
And our thanks to Dr. Kent Allen, who will once again be joining us for this year's annual conventions education session in Las Vegas, Nevada, from the 2nd through the 5th of December. And you can, of course, find out more information about those education sessions, as we mentioned earlier, by going to the website and clicking on convention at usdf.org. And whilst you're there, don't forget to check out all the latest news, information, and resources on eTrack. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to any smartphone app. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.